You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey there, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. I'm Clint Clifton, and today we're going to talk about church planting deal breakers. We're going to talk about the things that should absolutely stop a church planter in his tracks, make him not go any further with the plan of planting a new church. And today, two great friends are with me that I've been working in ministry with in the Mid-Atlantic for a long time. Nathan Knight, we've been more than a decade rubbing shoulders together, working with each other in Washington, D.C. area. Nathan came to faith in Christ when he was in college, and he went on to study at Southeastern Seminary, where he earned an MDiv, and then he's gone on to plant a church in Washington, D.C. that's now 12 years old called Restoration Church. And Nathan writes and leads and coaches, and he really cares a lot about church planting in the Capital Region. He's done a ton to invest in church planters. And so welcome, Nathan. And then we have Adam Butasib. Adam grew up in a Muslim family, but he converted to Christ as a teenager, and he has dedicated his life to multiplying churches. He planted Redemption City Church in the city of Baltimore. To my chagrin, I tried to recruit him to come to Washington, D.C., and he rejected me and went to Baltimore instead. And
Adam, you're smart. Yeah.
Adam's married to Sherry, and they have three boys together. Nathan also has two boys with his wife, Andy. And today we're going to be talking about church planting deal breakers. And so before we get started talking about that, I want to mention to you that on newchurches.com, we have a course that can be helpful to you if you're trying to figure out how to help your members know, understand, care about the rationale for new churches. The course is called the Church Planting Primer, and it's available to you in all kinds of ways, and it's totally free. You can download the videos and show them in a small group, or you can take the teaching manuscript and teach it yourself. But it basically covers four things. It covers the biblical rationale for new churches. It covers the need for new churches, statistical data about what's going on in North America when it comes to the church. It covers how churches begin in the New Testament and today. And then finally, it covers how everyday Christians can be involved in starting new churches. So you can find the Church Planting Primer totally free over at newchurches.com and download it there. It's available right now. Okay, guys, we're going to jump right in to this conversation about church planting deal breakers. All three of us have spent a fair amount of time helping others discern their preparedness for church planting. And I suspect that if we put the same guy in front of the three of us might have different opinions about how prepared that person is. But there are some things that probably all three of us would say are deal breakers, also things that we believe should stop a church planter in the proverbial track. So today I want to talk about some of those things. So what I have done is I've come up with what for me are some deal breakers. I want to talk about each of those deal breakers with you. And then I want to ask you, are there any others that I haven't thought of? So I came up with four. And so let's start with the first one. This first one is rather obvious, but I think it, scriptural qualifications are of utmost importance. And if a church planter is obviously not qualified, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter, or 1 Peter 5, then they probably shouldn't be out planting a church. You guys agree with that?
Amen. I agree. I agree with the Apostle Paul.
Yes, well, I agree with the Bible, Clint. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there is, I guess if I were playing devil's advocate, there is an argument to be made, perhaps, that a church planter could potentially not actually be a long-term pastor and could get something started. So make a case for a church planter being a pastor.
I love that you started there, brother. I think that's so important. And so the things that are so familiar are so often neglected, aren't they? And so I think, yeah, this is critical. We often talk about, you know, a person's calling and vision, and yet I think we can easily skip right over 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Hmm. What do you think, Adam?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're planning a church, you're leading a church, and the people that lead churches are pastors. And Paul's pretty clear what pastors need to do. So it's pretty elementary.
It is. Yeah. And yet it's so often neglected, like in these questions. And I mean, it's so often neglected. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, are you guys interested in this too? I mean, we're all working with various networks. Adam's in like 17 networks and Nathan and I are in the same one. As we think about this, like sometimes in the assessment process, there's an ultra focus on competence. Yet the scripture has all this weight over on the character side and virtually none on the competence side. Yes. Talk about that unbalance a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a little frustrating. I mean, I've seen some church planning assessments. I've been involved in multiple church planning assessments done by different organizations. And we definitely need to spend more time just asking, like, how do you treat your wife? How do you spend your money? How are you with people? Does the gospel make you weep? Do you love the Bible? Yes. Can you explain the story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Do you know what a church is? Those types of things.
Are you slow to anger?
Are you slow to anger? I think we would be much better served if we all focus on those things a little bit more. The competencies matter, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, I came in weakness and trembling. I was a failure. So he didn't have much competency, but he had a lot of character. And so we need more of that.
Nathan, more than once, I've had people come to me after meeting with you. I don't think I've ever told you this. It said, like some form of they were frustrated by their time with you because you asked them such a basic question and it was offensive. And the question was, explain the gospel to me.
Before we kind of move the truck down the lane, man, let's ask those basic things. Yes, I know. It won't be the last time church planners are frustrated in talking to me.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. So we've talked about scriptural qualifications being, you know, a deal breaker. If you find yourself unqualified or someone else finds you unqualified scripturally in some way, you shouldn't proceed with planting a church. You should focus back on those issues of character. Second, and this is one that doesn't get talked about hardly ever, I think, but if you're unsent, meaning you don't have a group of people in a local church behind you saying, the Lord's calling us to do this, and you are the one sent for us as part of us out to do this. So if no church is sending you, or another way of saying that is if you are sending yourself, that should be in itself a church planning deal breaker from my point of view. You guys agree?
Amen.
100%. 100%. I mean, now there's some caveats. You could be a part of a church that doesn't have a heart for church planning, and they're not necessarily supporting or opposed. So there's just some secondary cases. But in general, I think Acts 13 is a good model for us to follow. Who will go for us? This Holy Spirit sets them apart. The church Antioch sends Paul and Barnabas. We should do that with every church plant.
But Adam, the way you just said that says like the church that's sending them doesn't have a heart for church planning. To me, the way I hear that is the church that's sending them doesn't have a heart for the Great Commission, which seems pretty sinful. So I would say you're part of a bad church. You need to realign yourself with a church. Am I going too far there?
No, definitely. You need to find at least a local sending church in the city you want to plant in. Plant yourself there for a year. Have them train you and send you. You need a sending church, but I just know that there are some guys who are in tough situations, and I would strongly urge ascending church, but just recognize that there's some muddiness with some churches that are unhealthy. As you said, don't have a Great Commission focus.
Nathan, how do you advise somebody who comes to you and wants to plant a church but isn't being sent by somebody?
Yeah, my first question to them would be like, so dude, you want to plant something that you're not currently involved in. Help me understand why I would get behind that. That doesn't make any sense, right? That's like saying I want to start a family, but I'm consciously being opposed to be part of a family, right? It sends all the wrong signals. And so the church, I would argue, is Jesus's primary mission vessel to advance the supremacy of his glory among the nations. And so so much of the work of the church is for that pastor planter is to for them to watch this guy's life and doctrine. Paul writes that to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine. So many things happened when I was at North Wake Church. You know, when I was there for 4.5 years, that was the church that planted us. And they watched all kinds of things. They would listen to me teach. and correct me when I got things wrong. They watched me go through tragedy and see how I handled that, shepherd my wife and people around me. They watched how I shepherded a community group and discipled other people. And they listened if I, they saw if I showed up to a prayer gathering to see, you know, and if I didn't, you know, am I praying in my personal life or with other people? The local church is this beautiful place to not only be a launching pad to plant other churches, but just to grow them, nurture up people to love Jesus and to love his people. And so therefore, man, if you're not meaningfully involved in the local church, man, I'd all kinds of red flags.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so the other two I'm going to give you guys, let me just say right off the bat, these are not as significant as the first two. Scriptural qualifications, your sentness, those are very serious matters. The other two, arguably they could be tucked under one of the first two as subpoints, but I want to bring them out because they're so consistently issues when I'm helping people go through the journey of getting into church planting. And the first one is excessive debt. And so that would be that I have some really high amount of debt that I owe somebody else, you know, whether that's consumer debt or cars or credit cards or student loans or whatever. And often it's interesting. I had one situation where a church planter, I found out that church planter had $300,000 of debt, which seemed crazy to me. And it's funny, we had run like a credit check on this planter and the credit check came back good. It wasn't bad, but the church planter paid his bills. So he had decent credit, but he had student loan debt of $300,000. And so, you know, to me, I had to stop the process right there and say, like, I just don't think I can see you going out and raising funds for this new church, knowing that so much of that's going to your student debt. Do you guys agree that debt should slow or stop somebody?
Yeah, crickets. He's grimacing. Yeah. I have all kinds of questions that are going on in my head if I were to run into a situation like that. And one of which is what's going on there? Is the debt there because of worldliness? All right, so that means you wouldn't qualify. See, this is why I go back. I frustrate people. It always goes back to those basic things. You know, so is that the reason why the debt's there? Is because of worldliness? That would make you not qualified, so we're not going to do that. Is it because of student debt?
In this case, it was student loan debt because the person earned his PhD and they just were in school for a really long time. Yeah. And you know.
Yeah.
I think you have to be careful making a law here because I'm hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. I own a house. I have a mortgage. The bank owns it. So I think it's really what type of debt and how did you end up there? I'm curious, would you discern between consumer credit card debt and a college?
Yeah, I would. Personally, what we do with our church planners is we have types of debt that we categorize or classify. And so basically we leave out generally student loan debt and mortgage debt, but so mm-hmm. other debt, cars and credit cards need to be less than $10,000.
I would agree with that.
With a significant plan to knock that out, you know?
Yeah, and exactly Nathan's point. I mean, we're just getting to the heart. It's not about the money. It's really like, tell me about what your theology of money and spending it when you don't have it. And mm-hmm. why would we trust you with a much bigger budget that a lot of people are relying on if you are in debt with your own?
That's so, exactly right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, amen.
One of the other things I think that should come up in this conversation, we're talking about debt and church planters. It's very out of step with the societal norms in our society is saying debt's part of the equation. It's how the society works. However, in church planting, you're doing this unique thing where you're going out and asking for the benevolence of other people to support you for years as you do what you do. And so I essentially, when I go to somebody and I say, you know, I need $100,000 to live, really, maybe I could live on $80,000 if I hadn't, you know, bought that convertible or that not convertible, that Honda Accord, if I'd have drove a beater, you know, or done something different with my college, have not gone to such a expensive school. And so essentially the choices of my past are being, you know, conveyed to those who are giving generously to gospel work. And that feels like the part that doesn't feel wise to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think too about that. The principle of Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, when he talks about how the single person is able to be undividedly devoted, right? If you have debt of some kinds, even if it's good debt, it's gonna make it more difficult. That doesn't mean it's wrong. Like Adam hasn't made a wrong decision, I trust, right? By buying a house in Baltimore, you know, he's putting his roots down there. But there is something to debt that kind of makes you know, we have to tend to that at some level. It kind of helps us to, or it kind of makes things a bit be more limited in some sense. You know, you've got to make sure to pay those bills.
Yeah. And to me, secured debt is quite a bit different than unsecured debt. Secured debt being something like a house. The bank owns that house. Adam doesn't own it. Adam won't own it for a very, very long time. Even things like vehicles are secured. The things that aren't secured, if everything turned sideways, that the bank's not going to have something to go back to and cash out on. And so that does feel like a different factor to me as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the last one. What I think of as a church planning deal breaker, lack of spousal support. And so this is your spouse's not comfortable church planting. They don't want to do it right now. They don't think you should plant a church. They don't want to be involved in that. How should that affect a church planner in your point of view?
Adam, are you the husband of one wife?
I am. Yes. I'm like my grandparents. He had four wives.
Wow, that was excellent. Yeah. Okay,
we're not expecting that. I tried to tell my wife it was a family tradition, but she was not going for it.
Wow,
yeah.
That went a place, Clint. You were not knowing it was. Sorry about that. Yeah,
we're going on a tangent. Anyway, yes, I am the husband of one wife. Yes.
Yeah, your wife was in with you and planted this church in Baltimore.
100%. It was a team effort. And if a guy wants to plant and his wife's not on board, it's game over.
Yeah.
And, not even a question.
The work's too hard.
The work is too hard. Like, I wouldn't want to plant a church if my wife wasn't 100% with me. I'd be depressed. Yeah. Cause I come home depressed already and she lifts me up. If I came home depressed and she was depressed, I mean, that's just not good for anybody. Yeah. Church planting is great. It's worth it. It's just hard. And I wouldn't join a church that my wife didn't want to join. And we're planning a joint church. We're starting a church. And she's going to be a member, isn't she? And I'm not going to make her be a member of a church she doesn't want to be a member of. So, it's game over. And your job, husband, is to be at peace with where God has you, not, you know, nudge her with guilt trips to plant and be ready where you are. Just let it go and let God in his timing send you out when you're ready, and she's ready.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the Bible teaches us that marriage is a one flesh union, right? So therefore, right, Nathan Knight is only half of the flesh, as it were, and so therefore, if the other half of the one flesh is not on board, you know, then that one flesh is not one in its decision or functionality, and so we got to make sure and get that right. You know, such an important part.
I think I would get to the heart, like if a husband is that press on planting a church, like we can fulfill the Great Commission not planting churches. We can fulfill the Great Commission by being a great member. Like, let's lead a small group well together, husband and wife. Let's see how that goes. And maybe she'll warm up to it, you know?
Yeah.
You're not on the bench if you don't plant a church.
Yeah, that's true.
Great point. Yeah. So we talked about my four church planting deal breakers. Anything I missed that you guys would put on a list like that?
Adam, you have to have something.
Oh, I have so many, man. I have so many. I mean, number one, I talk to friends about this all the time, especially Dr. Tony Morita. He and I, one big one that we see is there are a lot of church planters, there are spine church planters that aren't great with people.
Mm.
Just don't have good people skills. And pastoring is all people, man. It's all relational. So you just got to be good with people. You got to love people and be good talking to them and doing conflict resolution with them and leading them and challenging them, everything with people. If you're not good with people, Let's spend some time developing that. And I would add to just gospel centrality. Like, the gospel has to make you weep with joy. You got to be so locked into it and so changed by it personally, because you can't plant a church and preach it every week unless you're personally enamored with it.
Amen.
Those are some good things.
Yeah. And I think if I can build off of that, that gospel, and in particular, the person of that gospel, Christ himself, as being the fuel of that church planting work. And I get an email, I kind of subscribe to some church planting things just to kind of keep my fingertips on just sort of what's out there and how can I learn from other people and the like. And I subscribe to one kind of well-known church planting conference, and I'll literally have two or three emails that will come into my inbox and the name of Jesus and a Bible verse is not even on it. And they're talking all about multiplication. And so that just gives me a lot of concern that out there in the church planting community, that we talk about good things that we all love, multiplication and discipleship and evangelism, but we're losing sight of the evangel, you know, and I just don't want to assume that. So that would be the one, Clint, I would add, is similar to what Adam said on that second one, is just, man, tell me about your devotion and affection for Christ. Now, I just want to be clear that that's why you're doing this. Not because you just like planting churches and you want to multiply and have an influence. Man, because I love Jesus and I want more people to know him and to treasure him together in local churches.
Yeah.
And so that would be the one thing is I just want to make sure that there is a deep affection for Christ and his gospel. And that's the fuel to the work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great, guys. Nathan, you said something at the beginning of our conversation that reminded me yesterday. I was working on a video series that we've been working on, and we had recorded Dr. Platt, and he said cults and false religions multiply. Multiplication's not the goal. The biblical church is the goal. If you aim at the biblical church, you'll get multiplication every time. And I thought, that's, man, so how well put. Yeah. So good. Yeah. And yeah, there is the temptation, you know, when you're in the church planting space and helping people think about church planting all the time to beat the drum of multiplication and not,
which we want.
Not even intentionally though, beginning to assume that everybody gets the gospel part, you know?
Yeah.
And so
that's why I'm so frustrating to people, Clint. I keep going back to, do you love Jesus? What's the qualifications for an elder? What was the church? Yeah. Like, that's all you got, Nathan? That is all I got, man.
Yeah. One trick pony, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I love it. All right. You guys are smart and you've taken time out of your day that you should be out ministering to people or doing something significant and important to talk to me. And I thank you for that. I appreciate you guys and thank you for your work and pray that Jesus will use you in tremendous ways.
Thanks, Clint.
Thanks, Clint.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.